Hey, Fabi.
What's happening?
You know how there's so much going on right now everywhere?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course.
So I really don't think we should be adding sexual and reproductive health to your, you know, to your care list right now. But guess what, Mimi? Planned Parenthood is here for you to ease your mind and give you the care you need with Planned Parenthood telehealth services.
And you know what? Planned Parenthood has been there for me in the past, and they're here for you too, wherever you are. Because they know care can't wait. Not now, not ever. Their telehealth services provide birth control information and care, STI testing and treatment, emergency contraception, and more.
Get care, ease your mind, and save a trip. Planned Parenthood telehealth makes it easy to reach an expert in your area by phone or video.
Set up a telehealth appointment with a Planned Parenthood medical professional by phone or video today. Go to PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth. The website, once again, is PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth. I could have said contraception. Oh my God. Okay, wait. That's PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth.
Así o más sencillo.
Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos for Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Una bolsa Versace tiene más valor que tú.
Hello.
Que show.
How's it going, Babelito? How are you?
It's good. A lot of things to talk about. Very, very good. Oh. How are you?
Good. Just here living my best life, recording at the Jewel, Las Vegas. Do you remember when I had a beautiful studio over here?
Oh my God. Those were the good old days. That was your first unofficial Latinos Who Lunch studio, I remember. Is it the same place?
Yeah. It's on the same building. It's a different one. So shout out to the Jewel, J-U-H-L in Las Vegas. For having me here for another, I'll probably be here for like 3 or 4 months. So this is nice. I set up a little recording studio in a closet. So I'm back in the closet, baby. It's Thanksgiving all over again.
That's exciting.
So I'm back in Vegas. I'm, you know, just going from my house to my studio, living the dream. You know, trying to help these whack-ass institutions over here in Vegas, one petition at a time, you know, doing unpaid labor for all these fucking white people.
And doing all the violence. It's kind of like, once you start seeing, it's like a labor that never fucking ends. But God bless you. I noticed a lot of things you've been working on, so that's amazing.
What are you up to? Where are you at? What's going on with your life?
So I am in Chicago 2 weeks from moving. It's been a whole entire ordeal. But before I tell you my ordeal, let's talk about food.
Nah, bitch. This is my episode. What are you doing? What the fuck?
Okay. So I was put on hold by my school because of COVID and non-tenure track positions. And I talked about in other episodes, we're not going to be renewed. And there were like online protests. The union got involved. That's one thing about Chicago, man. Like the unions here, the history of unions here goes way back and people are so well organized. So people been pushing. I mentioned students wrote letters. They approach a local foundation and they are, in a way, sponsoring my next couple of years. So finally, I was offered a contract, and I was negotiating between here and this place in Colorado. I came down to the wire. I didn't know I was. Ya me hacía, güey. Yo como pinche frontiersman in Colorado. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to live my best prairie life and divorce from all this shit. But ultimately, I have a foundation. I have a foundation here. Like, students have been incredible. And we decided to stay here. So we're going to be here for 2 more years. But the whole thing is that we had to give up our lease, so now we don't have an apartment. Yes. So what we end up doing is I just talked to my school. I said, you just have to promise me that I'm going to teach online because you put me through all this shit, and now I don't have an apartment. So we're going to go to the West Coast for the rest of the year. We rented a little place in California. So, you know, just continue writing. And the goal is to finish this damn book proposal that I keep putting off because of I have all these other projects going on. So and the thing is that with everything that is going on, it just put things in perspective that the reality is that I am considered a professor of color, that I don't have the same opportunities that this like Harvard white privileged assholes, you know. So competing for jobs is so complicated for somebody like me, and I have to have a book, or at least a book project, or at least a book contract. So I just got to hustle. So for next hiring season, I become a better candidate so I can compete with all of these privileged fucks, you know? But yeah, it is what it is. So we are about to take a road trip across this country in a couple of weeks. So just prepping for all of that. And but busy, 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 man. Just writing, writing, writing. How about you?
Yeah, well, I have a couple things to say. I have noticed that you have been using commas in your email, so you're almost there. I feel like you're going to get your dream job soon. I'm very proud of you for that, because I don't know how many years I asked you, like, you sign off and you put a signature, and
bitch, then there's a comma. Is your writing? I still don't understand this language, man. Like, I am so blessed to live with such a good writer that's all my editing, but like que la gramática y todo ese pedo, güey. I was just learning that shit in Spanish when we have to come to this fucking country, and then I was learning this basic shit when I was already starting to look into like all this academic stuff. A mí todavía yo no entiendo muchas cosas. I don't know, man. Yeah, like, no me entran, güey.
Yeah, that's true. No te entran. That's the best. That's the best way to say it.
Algo, puto.
Well, anyway. Because I like literally showed you, but it's okay. Step by step, and you refuse to learn. But where are you? Where's your road trip? What part of California? You know, California is a big state, girl.
Right.
Where are you moving to?
Well, I want to do research in Pasadena. So, but
white woman. Yes.
No me voy a mudar ahí, puto. Espérate.
Okay.
So I'm just, but because everything is closed, so I'm just making appointments in the Huntington. That's where I want to do research. They have all my documents there.
Oh, girl, but be careful. I had a friend who worked there.
¿Y luego, güey?
We could talk off mic about that place.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, it's a thing. Anyway, so, but we decided to move to my favorite fucking place in the world, which is Joshua Tree.
So, oh my, you are gonna live your white bruja fantasy, bitch. You better get your crystals in order.
I'm so excited.
There's a new moon coming, honey. You gotta get ready.
Speaking of social distancing, bitch, there's nobody around me, so I can't fucking wait.
Wow, that's gonna be awesome. So nice. Your fucking air conditioning bill is gonna be crazy, but it's gonna be nice.
It's all included, Airbnb, baby.
Airbnb fantasy. Don't be like you two out there looking to the side, taking pictures. Right.
The next YouTube videos are coming from the desert. Hijo su madre. Speaking of white fantasy, tell me more about your residency right now.
Well, I've been trying really hard to be productive the last 2 weeks, but like I said, I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, trying to help people at the Neon Museum. I can go more into that. I think I'll go more into it in the Patreon, because I did an update with Maite last time that was pretty transparent and intense and whatever. Right. So I don't want to bore everybody with the details, but yeah, I'm in the studio space, but honestly, I've just been like on my computer the last 2 weeks, just emailing and writing things and, you know, editing podcasts and interviewing people, this, that, meeting people. Oh my gosh, it's so weird in this time to like meet people. I've done in-person meetings like right. at the park or outside of a restaurant, you know, like because of COVID. But it's really opened my eyes to why people aren't as vocal and aren't as, you know, like when there's so many injustices in the world, we want to do the best we can and do our part. But being an activist and actually doing the work is really hard and it doesn't pay. And nobody really volunteers to help you because right. they know that it's hard work. And like burnout is a real thing. So I'm trying to figure all of that out and because I can't do this by myself anymore. And there is a bunch of people that are helping me behind the scenes, but none of them – everybody's anonymous, obviously, because they're like connected to this institution. So they can't be like – I need another person that can be like public like me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, I'm figuring all that out. But I am enjoying my time here in the studio. I hope to start making – some paintings pretty soon. I'm also sharing it with my good sister, Lance. Lance Smith is an amazing artist. Google Lance Smith Art. They are amazing. So they're sharing the studio space with me. But it's like an upstairs-downstairs situation. So I actually took the smaller space upstairs so that Lance could have more space to paint downstairs.
Lance and I were just in a panel together. This was an online symposium organized by Architopia Foundation. The panel name is Gaze and Place, the Act of Traveling, the Invention of Destinations. We can put the links on the website. And man, he's fucking amazing. He made me think about Vegas in a completely different way. And it was so interesting because the idea of traveling and mobility has changed now, you know, because everybody fantasize and romanticize just traveling and going from one place to another. But at the bottom line of that is that not only is a form of privilege, but it costs a lot, and it's to the environment and to a lot of different things. And it has a traveling and touristing. It has such an oppressive history. And now artist residencies are rethinking, you know, their role within mobility, but also within everything that is happening right now, the protest and everything. So it was really cool to talk to Lance and other residents from all over the world in this panel. It was pretty badass. But sorry, I interrupted you. I just got excited because this just happened like a couple of weeks ago.
No, it's fine. This podcast is about you. Go on. I'm fine. I never talk on this podcast. It's just
Mentirosa.
You. I know. I'm the only one that talks, really. I'm sorry. Listen. Uh-huh. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the same fucking bullshit. Nobody cares about what we're doing anyway. Let's talk about food.
Let's
talk about what have you been eating, Babs?
I have been eating a lot of fucking pastries. I'm going nuts. And the thing is that I'm giving myself like 5 to 7 hours a day of just writing and editing and everything. So I wake up, I have my roommate just made coffee cake. And then banana cake and cheesecake and sourdough bread. So I wake up and have one. And then like 2-3 hours later, cuando se me acaba el café, me hago más café and I'll make more pastries. And then I think I have like 3 to 4 servings of pastries all day long. But I need the sugar, man, so I can be writing. So that's exactly what I'm eating right now. I'm eating a banana, coffee cake, and some coffee.
A banana / coffee cake?
No.
Or a banana and a coffee cake?
Exactly. But I also just had banana bread like an hour ago with chocolate chips. Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. Imagine a banana nut chocolate chip coffee cake.
Bitch, I'm sure.
Do it. Make it.
My sister sent me a recipe of a tres leches pound cake. I was like, what the fuck is that? That sounds something from Martha Stewart. But see, so my excuse is like, fuck it, because I'm still doing all those online videos. And shout out to Fitness Blender. Fitness Blender has these fucking videos online, and they're just like a basic ass couple from Seattle, I think it is. But as soon as all this Black Lives Matter started, they put an amazing statement on their website, and no other fucking websites are doing that. And there were over 1,000 comments from everybody just fucking thanking them for what they did and their words. So shout out to them, because you know the videos are simple, you can follow along, and they're fucking aware and they're not bullshitting anybody. But anyway, so my excuse is that I'm jumping and doing all this shit. Y luego me compré la banca para hacer ejercicio. So 3 days ago, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to exercise and I'm eating all this bread, so I have to do it, blah, blah, blah. But I bought some cheap-ass pesas in, I think it was, I don't know, una tienda de segundas. So instead of, you know how you it's that kind of pesas that you can change, so you can add or take away. But the thing that ties them together wasn't that tight. So I was doing this exercise where you
Describe the weights, though. I don't understand how.
So the weight is basically like a little bar. It's like a little bar, and you can add like different small plates to it. So it's almost like they're like dumbbells, but you can take away. So you can make them 10, 20, 30, 40.
Oh, okay. They're like dumbbells that you can like snap more weight onto?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I was doing this chest exercise where you bring the weight on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't tight hard enough, the weight fell in my face.
Oh, my God. Did anybody get that on video?
Bitch, it was over 40 pounds, and I was bleeding like crazy.
On the front of your face?
On my face. Like, las pesas me cayeron en la puta nariz, güey.
Oh my, did you just like bleed everywhere?
There was a lot of blood.
Your nose didn't break?
It luckily didn't, but me dio un pinche cortadón, güey, que no me puedo ni sonar la nariz.
Did you go to the doctor? No, you don't know, that shit is broken. You're so fucking Latino, bro, you didn't go to the doctor.
No, porque, it doesn't hurt.
I needed 15 stitches, but le puse un poquito de resistol y... y me puse limón y ya. What the fuck? What happened?
So, like, I think I went in shock. So I was just like, like that. That's all I remember, that I was screaming. And luego me agarré la nariz con la mano, y me dio la mano, and it was full of fucking blood. So I did it again. I was like, but I couldn't talk. So I went to the bathroom, and I just put my face on the water, and it was just like running water. And my husband is like, what's going on? Are you okay? What do I do? What's going on? And I don't know. Like, I couldn't react. And finally, at one point, he's like, I just need you to talk to me. Are you okay? And I'm like, oh, yes. I'm fine. I think I'm fine. But I was shaking. And, uy, el drama estuvo tan bueno, güey. Pero me cortó. Así como que me abrió poquito y me cortó. So, like, I just put ice in it and it closed it. But I was bleeding for a while.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe that. See, that's why you shouldn't work out. See, people, I've been telling y'all. It's dangerous.
Look at me.
Wow. You got to wear a full helmet now, bro. You got to get a motorcycle helmet to work out. Oh, my gosh. That's so scary.
It was really scary. Like, afterwards, Emmanuel is like, are you okay? Oh, my God. I'm so happy you're okay. Oh, like, he was so scared, because when you cut yourself in the face, it's super extra, man. And it's just blood and blood and blood and blood. So it
was
like. Oh,
my God. I remember when I was a kid, my brothers and I, when my mom. Listen, y'all. I don't understand these kids nowadays, because I remember when I turned 8 years old, they're like, okay, you're old enough to stay home alone now. You know, like, what? I'm 8 years old. Oh, and by the way, your five and 4 year old brothers, you're going to take care of them while we're gone, you know? And so me and my brothers would go,
don't
fucking
kill them.
I've always been a nice person, okay? I wasn't a bad kid. My brothers were really bad. So I just had to like wrangle them usually because they were like, they used to call my little brother El Terremoto. Like, he was crazy.
Hijo su madre. Okay.
I know. Or he was wild, I should be saying. So one day, I remember they went into my mom's room and, you know, when you're a kid, you want to do, all you want to do is jump on the fucking bed because that's the one thing you're not allowed to do.
Exactly.
And so my brother was jumping on my mom's bed, and you remember those colchas from the 80s that were like, they're like purple, green, and black, and it was like faux marble and then like accents of gold. Do you remember those sabanas?
Yes.
Everybody had them, bitch. Everybody had them. They were like faux marble print. Oh, so good. They were so good.
Oh, my God.
I remember those sabanas. And and I went in there and I was like, oh my God, what are you guys doing? Get out of here. And right when I was trying to get them off of the bed, my brother took this huge leap and he jumped off of the bed, like towards the door.
He was trying to
run out and he hit his head on the corner of one of the dressers of the gabinete.
Qué desorden.
His head, the top of his head just started bleeding, just dripping blood. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do. It must have been an angel watching from above or below. And my mom walked in when that happened, like right after it happened. She walked in. She had just gone to the store or something. And
she saw
my brother just bleeding. And it was so amazing to see my mom's instincts. Mm-hmm. She's like, what happened? I'm like, you know, I'm just like freaking out. She didn't know. She's like, oh my God, there's blood. Okay. She grabbed my brother. She took him to the kitchen and she got a whole thing of azúcar blanca, the white sugar.
Y se la puso en la cabeza.
She opened the whole package of, you know how you can buy the paper bags of sugar, like the 2 pounds of sugar or whatever?
Simón. Pero es azúcar blanca, ¿no?
Yeah, and the pink packaging.
Right.
She fucking ripped it open, dumped the whole bag of sugar on his head, just like white. And the blood, like the sugar coagulated, like formed a scab. It like coagulated everything and formed a perfect scab on the top of his head.
Hijo de su pinche madre.
And that's it. That's what, we didn't go to the doctor, nothing.
That's when you know you're like, from El Rancho, because you know those fucking like, remedios caseros, güey.
Yeah, you're like, just wear a hat. It'll heal.
No, güey, oh, pero si da miedo.
Yeah, because there's like no barriers, literally just your bone on your face.
And the thing is that, like, because you're in the shock of what happens, it doesn't hurt. So you don't know. And that was the whole thing. Like, I was scared of going to the mirror and see what happened because I knew at that moment, I'm like, it doesn't hurt, but there's a lot of fucking blood, so something must have happened. So I was afraid of, like, touching it and feeling like it actually broke. Y luego cuando pasa eso, te imaginas las horas en el pinche emergency room, and then with the shit with COVID, like, a billion things went through my head. But then I just, you know, like, le puse mucha agua y hielo, y como a las 2-3 horas, it was all good. So,
oh, my gosh.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm a survivor. I don't...
Wow, look at you. Familia. Triunfando.
Triunfando, yeah. Amiga. Triunfando. Shout out to Juanito. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's all what's right. Going on. Okay.
All right. You don't want to know what I ate? No, you don't. Who cares?
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yes. Yes. Tell me everything.
No, it doesn't matter. So no, we're going to take a little... We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be right back with the topic at hand. We talked about monuments last episode. We re-aired an episode. We're going to talk about monuments one more time. Well, not one more time. We're probably going to talk about them a lot more. But after these messages, we'll be back with some... I'm just going to keep talking. I don't know why I just keep talking and not taking this fucking break. We're going to come back with a conversation about monuments and maybe some listener letters.
Wait.
What happened? We're falling apart. Oh my God. This is
bye.
OMG, Babalito. I just got in a new order of Latinos Who Lunch, the ABCs of Latinidad coloring book.
You mean the coloring book based on episode 99, the ABCs of Latinidad?
That's the one! You can get it on our website at latinoswholunch.com/coloring book. And I have an announcement. We are partnering with The Writer's Block, a local bookstore here in Las Vegas, and they are carrying the ABCs of Latinidad in their store. So you could visit them. Make sure you put your mascara on, and you can go pick up your Latinos Who Lunch book if you're here in Las Vegas, okay? And that's The Writer's Block, and it's thewritersblock.org if you want to see what they have online. So, yeah, again, pick up your book, the ABCs of Latinidad coloring book, on our website, latinoswholunch.com/coloring book, or go to The Writer's Block.
It's only $14.99, people.
Plus shipping. And we're back. Okay, here we go. So we talked about monuments in the past, and, you know, there was this big movement back in 2017 of taking down these Confederate symbols, Confederate monuments across the nation, and that movement continues with this uprising right now. And remember, everybody, it's still happening. Even though you're not seeing it on social media, it's still happening. Please support local Black Lives Matter groups. Support your independent grassroots organizations that are helping with the cause. Don't forget, if you're not out on the streets, you can sign petitions. You can call legislators. Pick up the phone. Call Kentucky legislators and representatives and ask for justice for Breonna Taylor. You know, you can do that. And so I'm saying that because this removal of monuments is a really great thing, but it's also a way for city officials or people in power to be performative. And performative activism is something that I've been paying attention to a lot lately. And, you know, that applies to social media. That applies to, you know, just you talking to people about, you know, civil rights or Black Lives Matter, but not actually doing anything about it. Let me tell you something. There's been record sales of, like, anti-racist books that have sold in bookstores across the nation that they were ordered, like, a month ago, 2 weeks ago by white people.
Right.
And they still haven't picked their fucking books up, right?
Hijo de su pinche madre.
I know. It's all fucking performative. And even the removal of a statue can be performative, you know? Like, what happens after that statue is removed? What policies are put in place?
Right.
So that this never happens again, you know? So a lot of things are happening right now that are just to kind of calm us down and, you know, and tire us out. Like, okay, we got rid of the statue. We made a Black Lives Matter post. We hired 2 black people. Now everybody calm down, right? And in 5 years, we're going to be back to the same fucking bullshit if we don't pay attention. You know what
right.
I mean?
That's really good. Yeah, because, and that's the thing, this is one of the reasons why we talked about, when we refer to diversity, we always refer to the D word. The reason is because of that, because it's just vacuous, because you can hire more people of color, but it doesn't mean anything if you're actually not, you know, serious about some changes. So that's something that happens in every single level of every single institution. So if people are not using this time to really think about the ways they can actually make a change outside of themselves, decenter yourself, people, because many times the changes that you want to create out there is just to make you feel better, you know, and you're right, like to feel out of quota, nothing's fucking gonna change. We are a society that is built out of empathy, you know, and the empathy always works one way and it's always to benefit us, you know, and it's not gonna fucking do anything. So as we mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, these are changes that never stop. Like, you never stop working, and that's just the reality of it. But if everybody's really getting, you know, like paying attention right now, as they are, like, substantial changes should be happening right now, as opposed to just, as you say, a couple of monuments. But I still think it's a good opportunity to start replacing some of these monuments with people that actually have been fighting for some real ass change, you know?
Yeah, for real. And so you brought me this idea, which is fun, of coming up with three people that should be honored with a monument, with a big statue, a big bronze statue in the middle of an old-timey square next to a general store across from a city hall. Oh, America. So I have three people that I want to talk about here. But yeah, imagine a world where they take down an equestrian, you know, Robert E. Lee statue and put up something else, somebody else that we could celebrate, who are true people that we honor as Latinos, as people of color, as queer people. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was coming up with my list. And so I brought three. Did you bring three, Babs?
Yes, I also have three. And I was trying, in the spirit of our episode of monuments, try to highlight some of the oppressive monuments of colonial Latin American history. So I concentrated on that. That is not to say that there shouldn't be, you know, all these other monuments celebrating queer, Black, in Latinx history in the United States. I was thinking specifically about some of this, some of these figures that should be honored throughout Latin America, and that's just in the United States, you know?
Okay, you want to go first?
I basically chose a figure that should be this, a statue that should be eliminated and replace it with something else. So for every Christopher Columbus statue, and God knows,
yes,
that we have a lot of those. This country went obsessed with Christopher Columbus around 1892, you know, with the anniversary. And then there was a whole expo here in Chicago in 1883. I think it was the Columbus Expo. Cities were named after Christopher Columbus, but it was just a way to the United States to attach its legacy to, you know, an expansionist, somebody that is expanding the empire. So for every Christopher Columbus, could replace it with this figure. Her name is Anacaona. And Anacaona was a Taino leader from, she was born in Haiti. And she actually was one of the first people to resist colonization against the Spanish. She convinced her family members, for instance, to fight Bartholomew Columbus, which was Columbus's brother. So native resistance started happening since 1493, like within months after the so-called discovery of the Americas. And this is a female leader, and this is one of our first native resistance leaders in this fucking continent. And I haven't even heard of it before I put together my class. So again, her name is Anacaona, a Taino leader, and we have to honor her legacy by fucking getting rid of some of this Columbus statue. So that's my first one.
I was thinking, so now that I'm, you know, trying to, you know, help organizations from the inside out, I've been part of administrative staffs for museums, for nonprofits, and, you know, I function in the greater nonprofit / you know, big white art institution world. Mm-hmm. And so with that understanding of the way that the United States works, I understand that putting up a statue of a Black person is very scary for white people.
Right.
Because anytime there is just a Black person, period, standing anywhere, minding their own fucking business, it's a threat to people.
Right.
Imagine having a statue looking down at you. That's going to scare a lot of these white people. So we got to ease them into it, okay? Because remember,
so let's start with Oprah.
I am also a white passing Latino. No, I'm going to, the first person I'm picking is actually, I respect way more than Oprah, to be honest, which is crazy. but I don't know. I have really mixed feelings about Oprah lately. It's just a lot of a lot of things that I just didn't see before, I'm seeing very clearly now.
Me too,
about her.
Girl, she's
you
the
know
empire.
What I mean?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my pick isn't far away from her. But actually, all three of my suggestions for monuments are drag queens today.
Sácate las babuchas, let's go.
And the first one, and this is not an idea, this is not a brand new idea, I didn't make this up. This is actually going around, there's actual petitions going around to replace Confederate statues with statues of Dolly Parton. I think that would be the first step. So my first nomination is Dolly Parton statues. And I'm going to need three different versions of Dolly Parton. I'm going to need I Will Always Love You, you know, back in the day,
Jolene.
1960s, you know, cute little dress with the big, big 60s smooth beehive hair and the big old chunky guitar, you know. With the hummingbird or something. Like, I want that Dolly. And then I want 80s, you know, feminist Dolly.
Bitch, how much money you have for this monument? You're getting
girl,
three of each.
People, I could, if I was seriously going to raise money for Dolly Parton statues, I would make that money in 2 days. I would make $1 million on GoFundMe, bitch.
In three
people
hours,
love her.
Bitch, yes.
3 hours, I know, right? And then modern day Dolly, of course. And that one would be, well, that would be more of a relief sculpture a la Mount Rushmore, but on a building. I don't want to colonize Native American land. I want to put it like, oh God, maybe on the side of the Smithsonian of American pop culture.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe like, I don't know, you know, right on the side of the Capitol building, something like that. I think that would be cool.
Oof. Did you
Dolly
did
in three, repose?
Three different Dolly Parton representing different historical contexts looking exactly the same fucking way because that bitch doesn't age. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Pues cuando está lista la petición, tell me so I can sign it.
All right. I'll have my people work on it.
Back to Latin America. So the second statue I think should replace all statues of Hernán Cortés. And these are statues of Gaspar.
Paulina Rubio.
Stupid. Of Nurka.
Nurka.
Porque llegó a Cuba primero.
Pamela Chup.
No, güey. No me hagas cantarla. Of Gaspar Yanga. Gaspar Yanga.
Come on, Gaspar Yanga.
Yes. Gaspar Yanga was a Maroon leader of a colony of slaves in Veracruz, Mexico. And he actually started one of the first revolutions of this entire motherfucking continent. This was an attack on the colony that was, you know, a Spanish colony in 1609 in Veracruz. Why don't we have his statue replacing Cortez? I have no idea. Why don't we have him in all of the fucking education history books of this country and every country in this whole entire continent? I am not sure why not. But he is the leader of one of the first, again, if not the first revolution of this whole entire fucking continent. Again, Gaspar Yanga, if you don't know who he is, Google it, loca. And again, that's for every, especially right now, bitch. There's so many shows around La Conquista because the conquest happened between the invasion. I don't want to call it the conquista. The invasion of Tenochtitlan, of the Aztec capital that today is Mexico City, happened between 1519 and 1521. And there's all these fucking TV shows and movies. I think Steven Spielberg was gonna do a movie, and they're idealizing the whole thing. They call it a conquista, and they always show La Malinche, which was the translator of Cortez, falling in love with Cortez, and all of that shit is bullshit, you know what I mean? So right now is the time to rethink our relationship with that idealized idea of the meeting of two worlds, you know, like the native world, the Americas, and the European world. Like, it's so much more complicated than that. So again, there's so many figures that could replace a lot of those fucking idealizations, you know, because we're all about the encounter and romanticizing that shit. But anyway, Gaspar Yanga, it's my second figure. Te toca a ti.
Okay, my second figure would be my favorite all-time drag queen, the one and only Celia Cruz.
¡Hijo de su
madre! So,
with replaceable pelucas, güey. Si no, no.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be a beautiful tribute? Oh, my goodness.
You know how, like, buildings in big cities, like, different cities, they change colors according to the national day? We should change the status of Celia Cruz, change the pelucas according to the celebration.
I definitely think Celia Cruz's statue should light up. Where would we put it? Probably Miami, huh?
Pues sí.
I wonder where would be the best place. I think the National Mall also. I think that would be great.
Imagínate, güey.
Yeah, right. Let's see, where should we put it? I think, yeah, right in front of the White House. I think that'd be perfect, actually.
Replace the White House with a whole statue.
You know what? Nobody goes to the Jefferson Memorial or whatever. Let's put it over there.
There you go.
So that people actually go there, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
yeah. But wait, yeah, why Celia Cruz? Which one?
She's an icon, man. And I feel like before I knew what Afro-Latinidad was, she was the first representation that I saw on television of that culture and of those people, because Afro-Latinidad is erased most of the time. That's still an issue we talk about today all the fucking time. And Celia Cruz, even though she didn't really talk about it all the time, you know, she was a representation that a lot of people first saw on television. And so I actually really loved Celia Cruz because she reminded me of my grandmother. My grandma and Celia Cruz look very similar, my Guatemalan grandma.
Yeah.
And so I always had a love for her ever since I was little, because when I would see her on TV, on, you know, whatever show she was on Sábado Gigante or on a talk show or on a music video, it was really the only time I saw people like my grandma on TV. And so Latin American culture is very, very whitewashed. If you watch the news, all you're going to see is basically white reporters, right? The only time you really saw black people was on comedy shows when they were making fun of people, or in sports, you know. And so it was really great to have somebody like Celia on TV as the representation. And you know, it's not fair to say that she was the only one, but that's the one that really stuck out to me. And I wanted to stick with the theme of drag queens, and Celia Cruz is
perfect.
Ultimate one. Oh, Azúcar.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, like, shout out to the Black Student Union in UIC. They wrote a letter saying, okay, so you're all talking about diversity. What the fuck are you going to do? And now as a department, like the art history department, we're like, well, yes, like this is true. What are we going to do? And I'm committed to do a class on Afro-Latino history and art history in the colonial period, because there's a lot of talk about Afro-Latinidad in my classes, but not a specific class about it. And I don't think there's a lot of classes on the colonial period on, I just talked about Gaspar Yanga, you know, so there's just like the contributions go way, way, way back from as early as the 1500s, 1600s. So you're absolutely right. Okay. So third and last one. So for every statue of Alexander von Humboldt, And I can tell you that I've seen tons. There's a huge park here called Van Humboldt Park. There's parks in Mexico City. There's statues in Veracruz that I've seen. Alexander von Humboldt was a Prussian. He was this German quote-unquote traveler. That's how they used to call them. So the Spanish crown basically gave money and gave the permission to von Humboldt to come to the Americas to explore, you know. And he visited everywhere in South America. He took a lot of scientific information about the height of the volcanoes in Peru in Colombia. And of course, the writings that come along with that shit, with that quote-unquote second wave of discovery, are so problematic. They utilize the regional knowledge of Native peoples to be, you know, used for their quote-unquote universality, you know, because whatever the Europeans teach you, it's the truth about the whole entire fucking world. So needless to say is that his contributions were important in scientific terms, but he was just another fucking Christopher Columbus. And for that fucking reason, Latin America fucking le maman los huevos, güey. They fucking love him. And there's statues of him. And I want to see the statues of von Humboldt be replaced by the statue Tupac Amaru. And Tupac Amaru was a leader of the native resistance movements of the 18th century, mid to late 18th century in Peru. We know a little bit about him because Tupac's mom named him after this Peruvian native resistant leader. And nobody talks about him when he was a fucking badass. And there's so many different communities in South America, in Chile, the Mapuche, in different parts of the Andes, that they never stop. We think about the conquest or the invasion or the colonial period. Los españoles llegaron, conquistaron todo y se acabó. No, dude, like there were so many areas around the Americas where they could never conquer. They could never take over. And the revolutions that were started around Peru because of Tupac Amaru are legendary in the history books in South America, but we should know more about them. So if we're going to celebrate this asshole, Alexander von Humboldt, who came here to eat, pray, shit, I mean, eat, pray, love throughout the Americas, we should also know the history of Tupac Amaru. So that is my third choice.
Noise. All right, my third choice is Shania Twain. No, I'm just kidding. but speaking of Stonewall, so Pride Month is over, thank God, and it's been very interesting because I took a deep dive and started learning more about Stonewall because I actually watched the Drunk History of Stonewall, and they credit Marsha P. Johnson, a trans woman that was there, for like throwing the first stone or brick or bottle or whatever. But
that's a statue I want to see.
That would be an amazing statue. So yeah, that's one for real. And so she actually was not there until the riot, which it wasn't really a riot. A lot of people that were there would say it was more of a demonstration or, you know, a revolt. You know, it wasn't a riot. But that's what it's written down as in history, right? And so the other people that were there, though, a lot of them claim that the first punch that was thrown at Stonewall was by
Shania Twain.
None other. Jessica Simpson. No.
¿Cómo se llama la que se drogaba mucho? I mean, all of them.
All of them? What the fuck? Lindsay Lohan?
No.
Girl, you gotta give me more details than that.
It was thrown by Anna Nicole Smith.
The first brick thrown at Stonewall was by Kelly Clarkson. No, I'm just trying to get into like the most basic white girl. The first brick thrown at Stonewall by JoJo. Okay, so wait. Where was I? Damn, I lost track of what I was saying. There's a lot of misinformation out there about Stonewall. And also that Stonewall movie that came out recently, they like gave all the credit to this blonde white guy when it was like obviously like trans women, drag queens, you know, butch lesbians that were the ones also there, you know, fighting the fight. So speaking of, again, I'll set it up again. The first person to throw a punch, according to several accounts, was Stormy Delavier. Okay, Stormy was, and later in her life became a bouncer, and she was, I think she was, not, I don't know if she was the bouncer at Stonewall, but she was the bouncer around Christopher Street in New York, and different bars. She was kind of like a local celebrity. Everybody knew who she was. And she's like so fascinating. There's really great interviews of her in the early 2000s talking about Stonewall and talking about her career. So she was an entertainer when she was younger. Beautiful, beautiful woman and a beautiful, handsome man. She actually performed as a woman and as a man on stage.
Nice.
And so one of her debut shows was called the Jewel Box Review, which was a gender-bending show back in the, I think it was the 1940s. And she would go on and sing, and she had a very beautiful, like, low baritone voice. And she was actually arrested, I think, a couple times for doing drag, even back in the day, because it was still illegal. Some stories I heard was that they even thought that she was a man dressed as a woman when she would present herself hyper feminine on stage, you know, because that's how much of that, you know, studness just came out. So I would like to dedicate a statue and put one up of her in New York. It would be really cool if it was in front of Stonewall or in Central Park or wherever they removed any of the old Columbus statues
in
New York. Yes, it should be Stormy up there. So shout out to a fucking king. We love you. And y'all, gays, learn your history. Derek Barry, nobody died at Stonewall, okay? And it was, you know, and this happens in history a lot. Like, one thing is said to be the beginning of a movement. But there was many incidences like Stonewall in L.A., in New York, in Chicago and in New Orleans, that even preceded Stonewall. You know, there was a movement already happening. And it's a reminder to all of us, I think, that this Black Lives Matter movement that has popped up again, it's been happening for a long time, y'all. It's nothing new. So don't be like, why do we have to talk about it now? I'm like, y'all weren't talking about it before. So it's good. It's progress, because I'm having a lot of conversations with a lot of people that I would have never openly had, you know, in 2007 or whenever. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely progress, but there's still so much fucking work to do. What were we going to say, Babs?
I think when you add a narrative to history, it becomes more successful. So if you have a whole story behind a specific moment, if you pinpoint like el 12 de octubre a las 4 de la tarde, it arrives specifically at this moment. So like, we're going to erect the monument right in this precise place. So all of that helps to legitimize the myth or the movement or the idea. But the reality is there's always so much more. That's one of the things that I learned from Annette Rodriguez, which was in one of our episodes, that she said, we always talked about the victims in lynchings when it comes to lynchings of Mexicanos in Texas, which is what she studied. And we always concentrate on the male body. But what happens to the wives and the daughters and the mothers that survived those men, you know? They were fighting for the rights of these Mexicans within these lands, you know, that they originally belonged to them. So the fights go before they were hanged, during the process of lynching, and then afterwards. The same thing with these native resistance movements. It's just that one day Gaspar Yanga se despertó y dijo, ah, chingado, me voy a levantar en armas hoy. Like, it's not that, you know? Like, it's a long process. It always involves a lot of people. It's many times it's the discontent of an entire fucking community, not just one person. But we always have to have that face that represents us. But things are much, 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 much more complicated than that, you know?
It's very complex.
Very, very, very.
Okay, so let's take a little break. We're going to thank all of our madrinas. And do you have Rex Bab?
Yes, Babalita? I have one. Yes, I have two.
Okay, and we'll be back with Rex right after this short break. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Babalito's Quinceañera.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, please, a todos.
Please, everybody, help me in welcoming the Quinceañera herself, Babalecki.
It's that time, Fabi. It's that time. We're recognizing,
yes,
all of
what
the
are we
amazing
doing?
Madrinas that made this quinceañera possible.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. We're thanking all the madrinas here that made this quinceañera possible. Look at us here. Look at us here renting this convention room at the Howard Johnson. Look at this buffet. This is all here. Thanks to you and me, the DJ. Thank you for paying for me.
For the champagne and for the fountain underneath the cake.
Yes, thank you so much. Michelle S., Nancy R., Carlos M., Caroline K., Chris and Berna, Gloria D., Sherry W., Erika T., Santos Q., Miguel M., David R., Brandy C.,
Amorelli's, Jocelyn C., Judith G., Jake N., Araceli L., Janet G., Jesse S., Blanca G., Monix J., and Daisy M.,
Arlene P., or Arlene P., Joe M., Monica M., Erika M., Sarah, Rafael T., Brack. Lola's Cocina. Thank you for the salsas, Lola's Cocina. They're right there next to the chocolate fountain. Yummy. Raquel S. Thank you. Maria G. And Esteban C.
Ali N. Jesse R. Eduardo V. Nicole Y. Leah. Emily W. Alexandra N. Cassie P. Dora G. Sarah S.
Andrea H, Luna M, L, Hazani B, Agustin C, Dionis O, Miranda S, Karina R, Vanessa L, Paola B, and Laura T.
Renato N, Ayla R, Tyler, Julia M, David E, Jennifer H, Daisy V, Itzel S, Maria R, and Jessica A.
Oh my gosh, there's more madrinas. La madrina de los Ramos, Alonso R, Natalia O, Annette R, Daisy Z, Luis R, Gabriela S, Andrea Q, Chris E, V, Vanessa T, Indira H, E,
Anna H, Hillary N, Namaste, Miguel C, Nancy M, Stephanie B, Roberto R, Yesenia S, Dora P, and Rosaura, thank you for my dress and the wonderful ranch fountain.
Wow. Thank you so much, madrinas, for making this. I can't get into character. Thank you so much, madrinas, for making this quinceañera 1-2. Remember, amigos y amigas, gracias por todo. You want to say anything for your quinceañera, Babelito? Come on up here. Come on, take the mic. Don't be shy. Come on.
Gracias por el pisto y también a los que nos apoyaron en... thank you so much, everybody. This means a lot to me. I got
and
my first
if you'd
period.
Like to, if you wait, say that again.
No, I'm not.
If you'd like to support Latinos Who Lunch, you can join our Patreon and be our madrina or madrine, comadre, and amiga. There's different levels. Go to latinoswholunch.com/donate to check out our Patreon, and you can also donate on PayPal.
Gracias, madrinas, madrinex, a todos.
And we're back.
Yes, so I have a recommendation.
Go ahead.
I have two. One, cabrones, watch my YouTube videos. Unsettlingjourneys.com. Come on, like we got a lot of subscribers. There's one coming out this Thursday, so today. So you're listening, just go to YouTube and we have so many things planning. We have all the scholars that we're inviting. And we have reaction videos. Mama Rosa did a reaction video to one of her videos, and Felipe Papa as well. We have other bands, for example. We have some people in the works that are going to do reaction videos and all kinds of things. So again, Unsettling Journeys, don't forget. It's a lot of labor of love. And when it comes to music, I've been listening to a lot of electronic ambient music because, again, I'm in the zone again. I'm just writing. And there is a project by Argentinian DJs that is pretty fucking amazing. It is a combination of Barrio Lindo and Búho, and El Búho, and El Búho is pretty popular. The music is it's amazing. And this new adventure, which was has been around for a couple of years, but somehow they are getting a lot of attention right now. This album just came out a month ago, if that. It's the band is called The History of Color. C-O-L-O-U-R, The History of Color. And the name of the album is Atumbra. And it reminds me a lot what this other band a couple of years ago did, Dark Side. So it's basically two major DJs that are coming together and creating this beautiful, dark, ambient electronic music. But Atumbra, it's bringing the South American sound. So there's a lot of amazing sounds that are that you can tell that are from different regions of South America. Again, the name of the band is History of Color. This gorgeous, gorgeous album is at Antumbra. So don't miss it. Google it, locas. Thank you. What about you?
I would like to recommend a podcast that I recommended a very, very long time ago, but I just want to redirect your attention to Bag Ladies podcast. I love Bag Ladies. If you're not listening to them, Google them, locas. And I believe it's ladies with a Z. And so I've listened to them for so many years. Yeah, it's BAGLADIEZ. So Google it, subscribe, support Latinx podcast, support Black podcast. Yes, todo. Anything else, Babs?
That's it. Gotta get back to this coffee cake.
All right. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please rate us 5 stars. Oh, my gosh. We got to 1,000 reviews, guys.
Yeah.
Let's get to 1,500. You can do it. If you got this far in the episode and you're still listening and you haven't left us a review, what are you doing? Please leave us a review. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your grandma. Well, don't tell your grandma. She probably doesn't know how to leave a review on iTunes. I barely know how to do that. Okay. Please rate us 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are.
And visibility leads to representation. And representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela, Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music we're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.